We have been looking at the life of Joseph. And we are now into chapter 42 of the book of Genesis. And we're going to be looking at, last week we kind of looked at Joseph. He was in prison after he had been sold by his brothers, went to live in Potiphar's house. The Lord blessed him. He became great in Potiphar's house, and things were great. Potiphar's house was being blessed. And then Mrs. Potiphar had an eye for Joseph, wanted him to have an affair with her. He said no. She grabbed him. He ran off, left his coat in her hands, and she framed him. He ended up in prison. But the Lord was still with him. And the Lord blessed him in prison. He became the chief trustee, the building tender, the highest trusted prisoner in the king's prison, not just regular common prison, in the king's prison. And everybody was put under his charge. The warden didn't have to do anything. He trusted Joseph with everything in prison. The king had thrown the cupbearer and the baker in prison. And they had dreams, and Joseph said, he approached them. He didn't just kick back and say, well, I'm just in prison now. I'll just spend my time. He noticed they were sad one day, and he approached them and said, what's going on? What? Tell me, why the long face? And they told him their dreams, and he said, oh, well, for you, chief cupbearer, it's a good news. You know, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. You're going to be pouring the cup back in the Pharaoh's, pouring the wine back in the Pharaoh's cup again. It's going to be a great thing for you. But by the way, when you get back there, remember me. remember old Joseph here. Don't forget about me. And the baker said, well, I had a dream too. And it was, I don't understand it. I had this basket of bread on my head, and the, you know, the birds were picking at it and all that. And he said, oh, I can tell you that dream. Not so good for you. You're going to die. And sure enough, both dreams came true. And cupbearer got out. He was back pouring the Pharaoh's wine again. And old Joseph was still in prison. Forgot about him. 2 years later. 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Cupbearer going, aha, I remember. I remember my shortcomings, the scripture said. There was a guy in prison who interpreted dreams. Let me go fetch him. Let me clean him up. Let me get him shaved and put some nice clothes on him first because he's probably dirty. And I'll fetch him to you and see if he can interpret your dream. And he did. Told the Pharaoh, said, Pharaoh, here's what's the deal. All these cows and the stalks of wheat and all that. What it means is this. There's going to be 7 years of great bumper crops. Okay? Bumper crops. But following that is going to be 7 years of great famine like the world has never seen before. So if I were you, Pharaoh, what I would do is I'd find somebody really smart, somebody that can manage some good, manage the household of your country really well, and put them in charge, and I would store up for 7 years the excess, store it up so that you can survive not only your country, but you're going to have a lot of influx from other people for the next 7 years after that. I would do that if I were you, Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, where can we find somebody that has the wisdom of God like this man in the whole world? Where can we, matter of fact, Joseph, why don't you be that guy? Matter of fact, you're going to be in command of everything. Only except the throne will you be in charge. You'll be in charge of everything except for the throne itself. You'll be the number one guy except when it comes to me. Pharaoh and Joseph said, really? I'll do that. And he put him in charge of everything. So now, we come to chapter 42 and 43. I'm going to look at chapter 42 and 43 here, but I'm not going to read the entire chapters to you, okay? I've got to kind of summarize parts of it. I'm going to read parts of it. So I've given the scripture. They're going to try to keep up with me back there. But also, do you still have on the desktop, there's a JPEG file, a picture called tree. Okay. I want you to find that and have that ready because I want to look at that here in just a little bit. Okay. Not quite yet, but just in a little bit. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. When Jacob learned, this is back, Jacob, back still back in the land of Canaan, right? Daddy. When he had learned that there was grain in Egypt, okay, because this is now into the famine years, okay? He said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? Kind of reminds me of the New Testament passage when the angel came down after Jesus had ascended. Why stand ye here gazing? Why are you just standing around looking at each other? Ain't no grain here. Go fetch it. Why do you stand here, keep standing here looking at each other? He continued, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. So they went down to buy some grain from Egypt. Verse 4, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother. Now they were all Joseph's brothers, right? Can you throw that picture up there real quick? It may take him a second because he's got to change some stuff around. He did not send Joseph's brother with the others because he was afraid the harm might come to him. Here's the picture we looked at. Sarah and Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Esau and Jacob. You know, there was a bitter feud among them two. Esau was really the firstborn, but Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Jacob is who we're talking about. Jacob's the daddy. Name changed to Israel. Jacob, Israel, same guy. Jacob had lots of sons. He fell in love with Rachel. He got deceived. Jacob, the deceiver, got deceived, tricked into marrying Leah, Rachel's sister. Rachel was beautiful. Leah had weak eyes. Not really sure exactly what they meant by that. Maybe she was easy on the eyes and she was not so easy on the eyes. I don't know. Okay. But he got married to Leah first. He worked for 7 more years. He worked for 7 years to marry Rachel and he got stuck with Leah. He said, I don't really wanted Rachel. Uncle Laban said, well, work for 7 more years and I'll give you the one you really wanted. He said, fine. But give her to me first and I'll work for 7 years. He said, fine. So he got Rachel too. Wanted to have children with Rachel. This wasn't happening. He had lots of children with Leah, though. And then he had children with this wife, children with this wife. And finally, he had some children with Rachel. Firstborn child to Rachel was Joseph. That's why Joseph was the favorite. Because he was the firstborn to his favorite wife. Okay? Now, he also had another son with his favorite wife, Benjamin, the youngest. Now, with Joseph gone, remember, because in Jacob's mind, they brought back the bloody coat. In Jacob's, as far as Jacob knows, Joseph is dead. He got eaten by a wild animal, right? So now, Benjamin is the favorite son. And he's the only one he has left from his favorite wife. He's the youngest. He's not about to lose him, right? He's his favorite. Okay, I want us to look at that. Now, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. Don't throw away that picture because I'm going to come back to it, okay? So, they all went down except for Benjamin. Verse 6, Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. One of the dreams, one of the reasons that Joseph's brothers hated him so much was because he told them a dream he had. He told them 2 dreams he had. And in both of those dreams, what was everybody doing to Joseph? They were bowing down. And they were like, we'll never bow down to you. That is such, you're just egotistical. That you're just, we hate you. What are they doing now to Joseph? bowing down with their faces where? To the ground. They're not just bowing, they're getting all the way down, right? Dusty noses and everything. Bowing all the way down. He says, where are you from? It said, we're from the land of Canaan. Now, he recognized them. They did not recognize Joseph. Why would they think that he's going to be the governor of the land? He's a slave. They sold him into slavery, right? He probably didn't even survive because slaves don't live long, right? Why would they even think that he's going to be the governor of Egypt? A Hebrew boy, slave. But God, right? So here he is. He recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. And he's like, oh, we'll have a little fun with this. Talk about dreams coming true. My brothers are bowing down to me just like I dreamed. Whoa, this is the day. He didn't reveal himself. They bowed down. He says, where are you from? From the land of Canaan, they replied. We're here to buy food. Verse 9. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to him, oh, you didn't come to buy food. You're spies. You're spies. You came to spy us out and find our weaknesses. No. We didn't do that. No, we really came to buy food. We're hungry. We're starving. No. You're spies, he kept telling them. You've come to see where our land is unprotected. Verse 13. But they replied, your servants were 12 brothers, the son of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and the one is no more. Who are they talking about? Joseph. He's no more. The youngest, Benjamin, the now favorite of the 11 remaining, is back home with daddy, because he's now daddy's boy, because Joseph is dead in their eyes, in their mind. One's dead. The favorites, the new favorites, back home with daddy, and we're here to buy food. He said, no. Just as I told you, you're spies. Verse 15. This is how you be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your younger brother comes here. He says, I'll tell you what. Send one of your brothers to go home and fetch him and bring him back. And then I'll check it out. We'll put you all in custody for 3 days, and y'all can decide if that's what you want to do or not. Verse 18, on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go take the grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die. This they proceeded to do. Now, I want to talk about this for just a second. He was testing their sincerity here. Do this and you will live, for I fear God. He was checking to see if they feared God. He was checking their honesty, their sincerity, because he knows that they have not been honest in their past. Right? Were they honest? No. Yeah, he was checking to see if they had changed any. He was checking to see if maybe, you know, their behaviors had changed. Matter of fact, if you are honest men, maybe he was thinking, if you have now become honest men, if you have become honest men, do this. Let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go home. See, at first he said, I'm going to keep all of you here. Let one of your brothers go home. Now he said, I'll tell you what. If you're honest men, I'm going to test you. If you're honest, I'm just going to keep one of you here. Let the rest of you go home. I'll test you. If you're honest men, do this. Bring your younger brother back, and we'll see what happens. And this they proceeded to do. They said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We see how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. And Reuben, who is Reuben? He's one of the brothers, but he's the oldest brother. He's the oldest, okay? Reuben said this, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy?" Reuben is the one who said, "Hey, we can't kill him. Let's don't do this thing. We can't kill him. Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy?" But you wouldn't listen. "Now we must give an account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them because he was using an interpreter. See, Joseph wasn't even speaking directly with him. Although he could speak their language, he grew up with them, he knew Hebrew. He was using an interpreter to further build up the deception, I guess. You see, deception kind of runs in the family. Right? Jacob, the deceiver, he's now leading a scheme against his brothers who schemed against him, right? And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, really. So he's using an interpreter to kind of build up the disguise, I guess. The mystique. So he's using an interpreter. They're speaking in Hebrew, and Joseph's going, understanding everything they're saying, you know. And he's going, "Oh, well, at least Reuben fought for me." God bless you, Reuben. Didn't work, but still, God bless you. He turned away from them, began to weep. Joseph did. He's having these thoughts. Can I keep going through with this? Can I just, this kind of hurts me to go through with this. Should I keep going? Should I not? Oh, these are my brothers. They did me wrong, but they're still my brothers. He came back, spoke to him. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Put the picture back up there, please. Reuben, the oldest brother, he's the one that said, "Didn't I tell you we shouldn't sin against the boy?" He's the oldest brother, right? Okay. Simeon, the second oldest. He says, "Okay, Reuben's kind of got it. He's kind of on my side a little bit. At least he's repenting. He's saying we shouldn't have done it in the beginning. We shouldn't have done it to begin with. I'm gonna send him back." Simeon is the next oldest. I'm gonna keep him here. Bound him up in front of everybody to see. Put him in jail. Said, "I'm gonna keep Simeon here. The rest of you go home. Fetch Benjamin, bring him back. You'll not see my face again if you don't bring him back." It says it here in later on. In verse 25, Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack. You see, they brought silver to buy the grain with, right? They gave the silver. Joseph had their grains, their bags filled with grain. And he said, "Oh, and put their silver back in the grain. It's free. Don't tell them. Just put their silver back in there. I've got plans for it." They gave each man's silver back in his sack and gave them provisions for their journey. After it was done, they loaded their grain on the donkeys and left. 27, at the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for the donkeys, and he saw silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" Holy cow. Now we're in a mess. What is this? Is this some sort of trickery? We're supposed to leave the silver there. Now we've got the silver. Are they going to think that we stole the grain? What? I don't know how this happened or why it happened, but we ended up getting out of Egypt with grain and not giving the silver. Ooh. And we've lost our brother. What is going on here? They go home. They explain everything to Dad. Verse 35. As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. Not only was there silver in one of the sons of the brother's sack? Each sack was their silver. When they and their father saw the money and their in their pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more. Now Simeon is no more. And now you want me to take, now you want to take Benjamin? Everything's against me. I'm losing my sons. You're costing me my sons." Reuben. Who's Reuben? The oldest. Reuben has a moment of heroic flash, right? We can't kill the boy. We can't sin against him. Didn't I tell you we shouldn't have sinned against him? Okay. Now, here he is. Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care and I will bring him back." What kind of sense does that make? Dad, if I don't bring back my brother, you can kill my sons, your grandsons. Won't that make you happy? Grandpas, would that make you happy? What kind of stupidity is that? We went from heroic to stupidity. You can kill your grandsons if I don't bring back your son. Reuben. I guess, I don't know. That's just stupidity. But Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left." Well, that makes all the other sons feel pretty special, doesn't it? "If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." He says, "No, it ain't happening. He's not going." So they didn't go. Meanwhile, Simeon sits in prison. Right? Chapter 43. "Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain that they had brought in from Egypt, the father said to them, 'Go back and buy a little more food.'" Well, we would, but there was a stipulation. Right? Verse 3. "But Judah said to him," now who's Judah? He's fourth in line. See, we got Reuben, who's the oldest, who's already made a fool of himself. We got Simeon, who's in prison. Levi, who's probably praying. Right? Because he's the head of the Levites, the priestly tribe. Judah, who's the tribe that Jesus came from. Judah steps up and said, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother's with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and we will buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. Because the man said to us, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother's with you.'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man that you had another brother? You should have deceived him," says the deceiver, right? "Why did you offer up so much information? You should have only said what you needed to say. You should have tricked him a little bit," says the ultimate deceiver. Well, verse 7, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he said to us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know?" he would say, "'Bring your brother down here.' Then Judah said to Israel, his father, 'Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die.'" Now here's somebody finally talking a little sense. I'm not going to let you kill my kids. We're all going to live, okay? We're going to go buy food. We're going to come back, and everybody's going to live. Nobody's going to die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. We've been wasting time, Dad. We could have gone and come back twice already. We could have already had Simeon back here among us for him and his family. We could have had the 11 brothers here back, all of us together, plus food in the house. We've been wasting time. Somebody's finally talking a little sense. Let me tell you something. How many times has God told you something needs to happen, and you just sat on it a while? Because it looked like it may have cost a little something more than what you wanted to pay. Maybe it looked like there could possibly be some cost there. Or maybe it looked like it might be a little uncomfortable, and you just weren't sure about that. So you just kind of sat on it. And the truth of the matter is, had you just acted upon it, you could have made the trip twice in the time that you wasted sitting in delay. Because let me tell you what a delay is. You see, there's two kinds of answers. There's a yes and there's a no. And we somehow convinced ourselves that a delay or a wait is, oh, I'm just going to pray about that. Let me pray about that. And that's some holy kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to pray about things. Okay? I'm not saying we don't need to pray about things. But I do want to say that if we've given ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we put him in charge, that what he says goes, we say yes. When God reveals his will, we don't say, well, let me pray about that. That means we're in charge. When God reveals his will, we say yes. When God says jump, we don't say how high, we just jump. As high as we can. God says, I want you to do this. Let me just pray about that. Let me tell you what that means. Because what that really is saying, no, at least not right now, God. That's really what that is. It's not a yes, is it? Delayed action is really no action at all. So it's not a yes, it's got to be a no, because there's no in between. Jeff, back when you were working for the Houston Police Department, you saw a crook and you said, get your hands up. Do you like give them like 5 minutes to decide whether they're going to get their hands up? Okay. I was just curious. Okay. I mean, get your hands up. You don't just sit there and wait. Okay. The guy says, let me pray about that. You know, there's a time to decide, and then there's time over. Huh. I could have gone and returned twice. Verse 12. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was a mistake. Okay, remember, they brought back the silver that they took the first time. Okay, just to make sure that everything's cleared up, take the silver that you took the first time in case there was a mistake, and take more silver. Okay, so that way you don't get yourself in a jam by if they say, well, wait a minute, y'all took grain without leaving the silver. Oh, here's the silver that we, somehow there was a mistake. Here's that silver, plus here's more silver. Okay, and then not only that, but he says, grab a whole bunch of other stuff too. Take your brother also, go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before this man, that he will have your brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So they went back to Egypt, presented themselves to Pharaoh. Verse 16, when Pharaoh saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal and prepare a meal there to eat with me at noon. Okay? The man did as Joseph said. Verse 18. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to Joseph's house. They were taken out of the court, out of the palace, out of the public place. They were taken to a little private setting. They're like, uh-oh. It's like being taken out to the woods. Not so many people around. What's this guy going to do to us? They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back in our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke with him at the entrance of the house. Verse 20, we beg your pardon, our Lord, they said. We came here the first time to buy food, but at the place where we stopped the night, we opened our sack and each one found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We've also brought additional silver to buy the food. We don't know who put the silver back in our sacks. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Brothers united. Plus their silver they get to keep. Steward took him into Joseph's house, gave him water to wash their feet. They prepared their gifts to Joseph. Verse 26, when Joseph came in, when he came home, they presented their gifts to him that they had brought to the house. They bowed down before him to the ground. They bowed down again. He asked them how they were, and then he said, how is your aged father that you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, your servant, our father, is still alive and well. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. They bowed down again. They just like bowing down. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Tears of joy. He got to see his full brother, not half brother, his full brother. Tears of joy, tears of maybe pain because he wants to say, guys, it's me, Joseph. I'm not dead. But he's got to keep this up a little bit because he's still got some more things to check out. After washing his face, verse 31, he came out controlling himself. He said, serve the food. They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that was detestable to the Egyptians. Different religions, right? The men had been seated before him in order of their ages, from the firstborn to the younger. And they looked at each other with astonishment. Now, Joseph had them seated in order, of their birth order. And they sat around and they looked at each other like, oldest, second oldest? And I bet you, the scripture doesn't say it, but wouldn't it be cool if you even had an empty chair between Benjamin and the next one where Joseph would have had? Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know if he did that or not. But he had them seated in their birth order because Joseph knew the birth order. And he had them seated in their birth order. And they were sitting around astonished and looked at each other like, how did he know? How does he know this? They're astonished. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, here comes the food. Reuben, you get a portion. It's like, oh, man, it's been a long trip. I'm finally good to eat. Simeon, here's your portion. Finally, out of prison, get some real food. Good portion. Levi, oh, I'm not going to have you. Judah, oh, good portion, thank you. Issachar, ah, oh, my portion, thank you. Zebulun, ah, oh, my portion, thank you. Dan, oh, thank you for my portion. Naphtali, oh, thank you for my portion. Gad, my portion, oh, it's a good portion, thank you. Asher, oh, my portion, just like everybody else's portion, thank you. Benjamin, my portion, and another portion, and another portion, and another portion, and another portion. And the brothers look, they go, wonder why Joseph did that. Anybody have any clue? Who is now Benjamin in the ranking of the family? He's the youngest, but he's now the what? He's now the favorite son because Joseph is dead in their eyes, in their mind, right? What did the brothers have a problem with when Joseph was alive? Jealousy. Joseph was the favorite and they hated him because of it. Joseph got more. He got the coat of many colors. He was treated as daddy's boy. He got the best. They hated him for it. They were jealous. He wanted to see how they would react when Benjamin, the now favorite, was treated even better. He was testing them. Joseph gave Benjamin 5 times the portion that everybody else got. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Didn't say they responded at all. They feasted. Doesn't record that they went, what? Why does he get 5 portions and we only get 1 portion? Joseph got his answer. Joseph got his answer. These brothers who had fought with jealousy had learned something. They had grown up. Like Reuben, we had sinned against the boy. He had repented. They had grown up. They had matured. They had overcome that. They weren't jealous anymore. Joseph had put them through the mire and the muck himself. He had tested them. It was okay that Benjamin was getting 5 times the portion. They were satisfied with their portion, and it was okay. He was probably going to send his leftovers their way anyway because he couldn't eat 5 portions anyway. No big deal. They weren't jealous anymore. Joseph needed to see that in his brothers. He was testing them. Let me tell you something. Joseph was testing his brothers in many ways. don't you think for a minute that God doesn't test us. He checks us out. Are we going to be sincere? He sent the brothers home. I'm going to keep Simeon here. If you're honest, you go home, fetch your brother, and bring him back. They delayed. Of course, Dad kept them there. They delayed. They delayed, 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 until it became just absolutely necessary. Then they finally followed through. Folks, God doesn't want you to wait until it's absolutely necessary. He's testing us sometimes. Not tempting us, He tests us. He wants to know if we're going to be jealous. He wants to know if we're going to be obedient when it's time to be obedient, not when we just have to. He's testing us. He's checking us out. He's testing our faith. What will we respond? How will we respond when our faith is tested? Will we respond immediately? Have we studied enough? Have we trusted enough to know that He is faithful and that His plan is always the best plan? Will we trust Him? Even when it looks uncertain, what's going to happen to Benjamin? We don't know. But we know that God is a big God. I'm not sure exactly what's going on in your life right now. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. But I do know that God is trustworthy. I do know that. I know it because the Bible tells me so. And I also know it because I've lived it and I'm living it and I will live it tomorrow. Many of you can say the same. He has proven Himself time and time and time again in stories that we can read about, in lives that we can hear about today. And I hope and pray in your life that you can tell about. And if that's not you, would you trust Him so that you can tell that story, so that you can have that experience and say, I checked it out, and it is true. He is trustworthy. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't fun all the time, but He never fails. The first step is to trust Him with your life. Will you trust Him with your life? Will you trust Him and say, Lord, I believe that what You did for me on the cross was something that I could not do for myself, because the Bible says I'm a sinner and I believe it because I've done something wrong. The Bible says if I've ever done anything wrong, my punishment is eternal death. That created a separation from You and from me forever. And I can't cross that separation, but Jesus Christ said, I will make that bridge that you can't cross except by me. And I'll make that path for you. He gave Himself on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Folks, all that's required of you and me is that we trust Him, we receive that gift. And He says, now the gate's open to you. We don't have to do the work. He's done the work. All we have to do is trust in the work that He's already done. He says, come as you are. You don't have to get fixed up, cleaned up, or anything. Come as you are. Just trust in the work that I've done. Now, the fact is that if we trust in the work that He's done and trust Him as our Lord and Savior, He won't leave us the same way. And that's the beautiful thing. He says, come as you are, but you can't stay that way. And that's beautiful because He begins a work in us and a change in us. That is beautiful because His goal for us is to become more Christ-like. That's His goal for us. And if you want that, you can have that. It's free to you, but it wasn't free. Jesus paid dearly for it. But He offers it to you. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word that is so awesome and mighty and has the power to change lives. Thank You for the story of Joseph, Father, and how it relates to us as Joseph tested and tried his brothers. Lord, you test us and try us to check us out to see if we're sincere. Father, may you find us honest with you. May you find us trusting you without delay. May you find us changed, maturing. May you find us desiring you and willing to sacrifice anything along the way for your goodness, for your truth, for your mercy, and for your grace. Help us to trust you today, Lord. For your rewards are always over the top. As you were with Joseph, Father, you will be with us. Your word tells us that you will never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. As you were with Joseph, Father, you will be with us. And we thank you for that promise that's found in Scripture. Help us to be honest with you today, wherever we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand.